This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Jayatri Das, in for Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, DNA Adapted. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's no better way to explore DNA and epigenetics than by studying people who have the exact same DNA. Each year, the Monell Chemical Senses Center sets up a makeshift lab in Twinsburg, Ohio, at the Twins Days Festival. Liz Tung went to the real lab in Philadelphia to get a preview of the science.
Danielle Reed is setting up for a pilot run of this year's Twins Days taste test.
Turn this around so you don't know what's going on.
She takes out a bag of baby blue nose clips and some tiny plastic cups.
So it's like a little miniature cocktail hour.
They kind of look like Jell-O shot cups or something like that.
Well, some people say they're medicine cups, but I guess if you do a lot of Jell-O shots, they look like Jell-O shot cups.
Danny and lots of other researchers make the trip out to Twinsburg every year.
Twins are really an experiment of nature. So some twins are genetically identical, so that their DNA is the same in all cells in their body, whereas other twins are not genetically identical.
Comparing identical and fraternal twins gives scientists clues to which tastes are determined mostly by genetics and which ones are shaped by environment. In the past, Danny's tested
why popcorn is such a good savory snack. Very popular.
And this year?
So we're going to be examining the perception of bitterness of a compound called phenothiocarbamide. And that's a chemical cousin of a bitter compound that's in cruciferous vegetables.
In other words, essence of broccoli, which Danny is serving up in its pure chemical form, a clear liquid that she pours into those tiny little taster cups. Today, the tasting panel includes a couple of people who work at Monell, Leslie and an intern named Desmond, along with Danny and me. We put the baby blue clips on our noses so our sense of smell doesn't interfere with our sense of taste, and then we throw back our samples.
Oh my, it's bitter. Yep, it's bitter.
That's Leslie's reaction. I feel about the same.
Oh, it's very bitter.
But not Desmond.
Not as tastes like anything to me.
Or Danny.
I can't taste it at all.
Now, we all know that people taste things differently. What researchers are trying to find out is why. Danny says there are a bunch of factors at play. What your diet is, whether or not you smoke, whether you take any medications. In the case of this particular compound and bitter flavors in general, the biggest factor is your DNA. This is how Danny says it works on a molecular level.
We like to think of bitter receptors as being a little bit like a lock and key system. So the receptor is the lock and the little bitter molecule that's in your food is the key.
If you have the receptor gene that matches with that flavor, the key fits exactly into the lock. So pretty straightforward. You either have the right lock or you don't. You can either taste this bitter note or you can't. And that's all determined by what genes you've inherited. At least, that's what researchers thought, until identical twins came and threw a wrench into the whole equation.
Twins are really similar in their perception of bitter compounds. But every now and then, we find a twin pair that are genetically identical, but they're dissimilar. And this puzzles us because we really don't understand why that is.
Scientists think epigenetics help explain the puzzle. Earlier, our host Jayatri, who's a biologist, compared epigenetics to the notes of a song. Here's the analogy Danny uses.
So the way I like to think of it is like you might have a recipe in a book written in ink, but then people come in and they write cooking notes in pencil. And so those genetic signatures are really like that pencil writing on a recipe.
Your epigenome is something that changes how and when your genes are active. Shelley Berger leads the Epigenetics Institute at the University of Pennsylvania. And she says that influence starts early.
The epigenome actually begins to form at conception. It begins as soon as the egg and the sperm unite and form an embryo.
The epigenome includes little chemical groups that sit on top of the DNA, blocking certain genes and letting others shine through. Shelley says scientists have narrowed down certain things that affect the epigenome throughout our lives. For example,
diet, alcohol, exercise is considered to have a huge effect on the epigenome.
Plus age, stress, smoking, and pollution. All of those factors can change when and where those chemical groups attach to our DNA. And that can have big implications depending on what those genes do, especially when it comes to disease. For instance, let's take a famous set of twins.
Dear Abby and Ann Landers, they're identical twins. And as they aged, they developed completely different diseases. One died of cancer, the other died of Alzheimer's, 11 years apart. So you could then say that something was different in the way they interacted with the environment that led to these very different diseases.
Cases like these have pushed researchers studying everything from cancer to Alzheimer's to look more closely at epigenetics and at twins. Danny Reed, the taste researcher from Philadelphia, says there are big questions we might answer studying both.
So I find it very fascinating when people are genetically identical, but then there's big differences between them. That's just extremely interesting to me. Like, how do we become who we are?
Liz Tung reported that story